that we'll be basically covering in just a few minutes. I want to thank certainly Brother John for getting the overhead in. I unfortunately did not bring my little stick, but that's okay. We're going to have an opportunity to use that hopefully in the future. I want to thank him for his work. I also want to take the time just to comment and praise the Lord for the addition of our sister Lauren. I've had the good fortune to spend a few hours in class with Lauren, and she's always very well prepared, excellent Bible student, and a fine young woman. And she's going to be a great example for not only the young people, but here, but certainly for the great example for the world to observe. And we want to praise her for obeying the gospel and the greatest decision you ever made in your life, Lauren. And it shows a good reflection on your parents and your raising. So I'm privileged to be your brother and probably your grandfather in Christ, too. So welcome. Well, lots been going on in the last month, an awful lot. In the month of May, we're a little short on the outlines, but that's okay. Should any of you need an additional outline, if you want the PowerPoint presentation, just give me a call. We'll go ahead and get that out. But in our last month, we've had, in May, we had the addition of Brother Dave and myself as elders. And prior to that, we went through a, shall we say, a testing period of time, for a lengthy testing period of time. We went to the men's business meeting just to decide on, are we going to have elders? Where do we want to go with this? Do we have individuals that want to step forward and do that work? Are those individuals qualified? Do they meet God's standards to lead this congregation? And a lot of conversation in the meeting, it at times was, and I'm speaking for myself, I won't speak for Brother Dave, he perhaps will have the chance to stand up here where no one can talk back at you. But anyway, the opportunity, you could put yourself in maybe a defensive mode. Me being here about a year and a half right now, you guys actually requested letters of recommendation. And I thought about that. And, I know a lot of people in the Brotherhood, and I wasn't concerned about that letter of recommendation, but basically it reflects on, Patrick, what's your reputation like? And the reputation that you have among the Brotherhood. And but I felt fairly comfortable with that. And so those letters came in. And then having the opportunity to sit down and meet with a few of you folks here that went through the process and wanted to know a little bit more. And we worked through that and talked about that. And overall, the process, in my opinion, was sound scripturally and it was according to God's plan. And we're at today because of that process. And I commend each individual here. But there's a qualification in there that came to my mind that I studied out diligently. It came about one day when I was sitting home on the couch reading, studying. Lindy accuses me of nodding off from time to time. But on the other hand, I'm sitting on the couch and I get a knock on the door. And an individual that I opened the door, and he said, "Is Patrick Sutherland here?" And I said, "That's me." And he said, "Well, you look the same." And I thought, "Well, okay, what are you selling?" And make a long story short, he wasn't selling anything. It was an individual that I went to high school with. And I'm celebrating my 50th year anniversary in high school. And I don't think I look the same, but for what it's worth, he gave me a compliment anyway. And so I invited him in, and I had my Bible stuff and my studying the stuff out there I was working on. And so he says, "What are you doing? Where have you been?" We just, chit-chat back and forth. And he said, "I live right down the street from you." And I thought, my goodness, isn't it a small world, And so he tells me, he says, "What are you doing? This looks like you're studying the Bible." And he says, "Not you." I was knifed in the chest. And you know, it started me thinking. You know, what is my reputation all about? Is it just the reputation I have with my brothers and sisters in Christ, or is it a reputation that I need to carry and need to have with the world? And I went to the qualifications, and as we look at the qualifications in 1 Timothy at chapter 3 at verse 7, it says he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So, you know, the reputation and the letters of recommendation extended far beyond just the qualifications, perhaps from the brethren. What type of reputation did I have? We went on and we spent about another half hour together, and I really didn't know this individual real well, but I guess there was through my behavior perhaps, or whatever the case may be. No, I mean, was not a riotous young man, but I was prone to action, you know, and unfortunately I carried that reputation. But we walked away and we satisfied, and I invited him to church, and he graciously unfortunately declined. But it really started me thinking about a reputation, and our study today is going to be about that that very topic, building a good reputation as a Christian. And when you look at all of the qualifications in the eldership, there's basically the qualifications are one theme, and that is the mark of a mature Christian. And the reason God wants us all to be mature is so that we can set the right example, obviously, in the world, and being His children and His children in Christ, you know, hopefully to lead others to Christ, not only by certainly God's word, who adds the increase, which is powerful, but by our example that we set. And so when we look at a most unusual qualification, I would suggest to you that I'm going to ask you this question, and I was a little fearful, but have you ever thought of what people think of you? I mean, have you really sat down in calmness and sat down, you know, what do my neighbors think of me? What do the people that I do business with think of me? The people that I interface at school, do they think I'm a stand-up person? That's politically correct, right? Not a stand-up guy, a stand-up person. I mean, what do they think of us? Would they be surprised to hear that you're a Christian? With those that perhaps you met are in the past, would they be surprised to know that you're serving as an elder, or you're serving as a deacon, or you're a Bible class teacher? You're a class teacher. You know, what exactly do people think of you? And I'm talking about our reputation, and why is this important? And I would suggest to you that it's important because the life that people see in you perhaps may be the only Bible that they're going to read. That the example that you set by your behavior, by your speech, by your jokes, by your attitude, by your performance, by your very being, is going to be the only message that they may see. And when they learn that you're a Christian or you're a godly individual, are they going to be disappointed? Are they going to say, well, they may be the Sunday best, but they're the Monday scoundrel? What are they going to say about you and your reputation? Is that reputation of yours going to influence perhaps those individuals perhaps being interested and wanting to learn more about Christ and obey the gospel? So how we carry ourselves, how we walk, is how people are going to judge religion. Because what they're looking for, are they looking for doctrine? They're looking for honesty. Are they looking for book, chapter, and verse? They're looking for integrity. And so what happens with an individual, perhaps, that we do business with, if we have ever cheated them, or if we have ever not completing a project or a job, or if we've done something to harm them, they're going to say, I want no part of what they're part of, because they aren't living the life that they profess. So we're going to talk about building a solid reputation, and building a solid reputation that we can carry ourselves with, and that hopefully will interest individuals into wanting to learn more. There's individuals in here that I know of that people say, they're different. And that to me is a great statement. You need to be different. You're different on your job because you're different on how you behave and how you perform. And we spent a lot of time in this last class in the book of Ephesians with talk about behavior and talked a lot about of our walk and our Christian walk and what we profess and how to handle those situations that God tells us to put off the old man. We do change. Over the years, of course, we do change. So we're going to talk about building a good reputation. And then at the end of our lesson, guess what? You know, I mean, this is neat, you know. We're going to give you a chance to rate your reputation. But you know what? We're not going to give you just a chance to rate your own reputation, because I think if I rate my reputation, I'm going to give myself a stellar one. He's a pretty good guy, you know. But I'm going to have your wife, your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, your children, a close friend. They're going to do the evaluation on you. And you're going to kind of rate yourself, and then you're going to look at this area, and you're going to hopefully going to say, you know, maybe I need to make some improvements here. Maybe I need to make some improvements there. Maybe I need to change so that I can build that godly reputation. Well, the passage that we really selected here on our reputation is from Proverbs 22, verse 1. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. And so a good name is more desirable than great riches. And when we look at the elder's qualifications, we talked about that. It's an unusual requirement. But we're also told, you know, that we are to be the salt and the light of the world. The Christians in Antioch in Acts 11:26 were first called Christians in Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Why did they get that name? You know, what did the world see in them that said they were first called Christians at Antioch? It was their behavior. It was their belief structure. It was their way of life. If we do not behave in a manner and to above reproach, which was another qualification, which is the same thing as building a good reputation with outsiders, above reproach, it will hinder our ability to shine as lights. Hypocrisy and inconsistency in our lifestyle, obviously, people will recognize. I actually have my PowerPoint presentation here. I wasn't sure that John was going to do this. I should have known that. I had it on the board. Well, it's interesting, too, because as members of the church, a lot of times, and what's impressive about this congregation here that I'm learning more and more and more and more about, which is exciting, you guys are close. You guys are close. I mean, I saw the emails firing back and forth. I was ill last week. Saw the emails firing back and forth about this getting together in the park. And it was miserable outside. But they said, we want to get together. That's commendable. You know, and what happens a lot of times, you know, with our membership, sometimes we see everybody here, and if we don't get that closeness sometimes, you know, we just believe that everybody just is just doing so good, don't we? That they're just got it all together, you know. But unfortunately, on the outside, we see opportunities, unfortunately, that are at times disappointing. I put down here, the wild oats one sows even while we are young will be a great hindrance to our usefulness in the service of God many years later. And I put that statement down mainly was because of my experience with my out-of-the-past visit I had on there. But it wasn't an ugly situation, it's just that I realized if it was my wild oats, you know, years down the line, it could be an issue, all right? I may have to explain myself through that. Another qualification in 1 Timothy 3, listed among the qualifications is in Titus 1:8, and it talks about being just and holy. Justice has to do with treating one's fellow human beings in a fair and equitable manner. Is this just the responsibility of the elders, or is this the responsibility of a child of God? Obviously. And one who makes it his or, whole or her practice day in and day out over the years to treat their fellow man, human beings fairly and equitable, will in so doing cultivate the respect and admiration of all who know him or know her, even those who are not members of the church. An example I had here in Acts, the 6th chapter at verse 3, when we read about the, quote, deacons that were, 7 men, were charged with the responsibility of feeding the Grecian widows. The charge went out that there was a need that needed to be done. And, if you look at that in the context, they went and they made the, impression that select men, that have a good reputation. A good reputation. Select men that have a reputation that can get the work done. And they chose them among the Grecians at that time because they knew that there would be no challenge. There would be no, no second guessing, that these individuals would be individuals that have proven a reputation, that they would be trustworthy, and there would be no favoritism. And that's why these individuals were chosen. When we look at another individual that has a good reputation, Acts 16, chapter 2, Paul went to Lystra on his second missionary journey. He met an individual by the name of Timothy. And perhaps for the very first time, he was meeting Timothy. And but before he met him, he was well spoken of. The passage says in 16:2 that Timothy was well spoken of. You know, that speaks volumes. And people were talking about Timothy not negatively, but positively. A good reputation creates this kind of conversation. You know, take it outside of the church, even on your jobs and in your employment opportunities. Are there individuals that stand out that people just say, you know something? If I want to get the job done, that's the person I'm going to go to. They're never late. They're dependable. They're on time. You know, they're... behavior. There's individuals that stand out. You know, Timothy here, obviously, you know, being a young Jew boy, and when he became later on a Christian, obviously, it even spoke more volumes of his reputation on that. And people were talking about Timothy in both Lystra and Iconium, and that is in more than one location. So, you know, you just don't run off and be a scoundrel in one city, and all of a sudden you go to another city, and you leave all this garbage behind you, you know, and start a new life, and all of a sudden, you know, now you're this good guy. No, you know, you make your mark throughout the communities, throughout the, you might say, the world. And so that's another mark of building a good reputation. And that, to me, is exciting. One of the things that I had on my sidebar notes here, obviously, was, we have young people in here, obviously, a lot of young people, and all of you guys are young people compared to me, but what I'm saying is we have a number of young people that are going to be graduating from high school, and many will be going away to college and stuff like that. And what type of reputation are your children going to have when they leave the nest? You know, what type of reputation do your children have, or what type of feedback do you think you're going to get on your children, you know? They're calling up, they're doing great, or whatever the case may be. Because we look at Jesus, and in Jesus' maturity profile, in Luke, the second chapter, verses 51 and 52, it says, then he went down to Nazareth and with them and was obedient to them, but his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. As children, and as parents of those children, we as parents or grandparents love to hear that kind of communication, don't we? About our children are solid. You raise them right. They're doing well. You can count on them. You know, that is really exciting. And then in verse 52, and Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, and in favor with God. And then the bottom line there, on the end there, not the bottom line, but, and men. People saw in Jesus, obviously, someone that was different. Do they see something different in you? Worth imitating on that. Well, on our outline is your first challenge. Here's basically a goal for every Christian. And For most Christians, it takes time to build a reputation. You know, anything worthwhile, obviously, takes time. And in this case, a reputation takes time. You can obviously build a reputation and can lose a reputation overnight, can't you? You know, I read this little story about this guy that was an artist, and he was an excellent artist, and he just was just, you know, he could paint pictures. This guy was just fantastic. He painted pictures so beautiful he did. You know, everybody wanted it, nobody wanted to buy it. So he starved it out. So he went and robbed the local grocery store. So, you know, he got convicted and sent to jail, and they asked him on his conviction. They said, "What happened? You know, here you got this career going for you. Why would you turn?" He says, "I can't figure it out." He says, "All my life I paint pictures." He says, "Many pictures." He says, "But rob one grocery store and now I'm a thief." So, point is, they didn't remember him for being an honest person, but they remembered him for being a thief. That was the reputation that he built. It takes time. It takes patience. And it takes perseverance. A good reputation will happen naturally if we are growing and maturing in our Christian lives as we should. A Christian who has a poor reputation is obviously demonstrating traits that are not in harmony with Christian principles, nor is his or her lifestyle in harmony with what God naturally expects from a mature Christian. And our study tonight, or this morning, is designed to help us develop a good reputation. Well, a question to get started that you want to think about. I put about a good place to start is to determine what people actually think of you right now. What do people actually think of you right now? Do I get positive feedback from those closest to me that would indicate I have a good reputation? Do I get positive feedback from my wife? Do I get positive feedback from my children? Or do I get positive feedback from my friends? Now, you got to be very cautious when you're talking about your reputation and you're talking with your wife, your friends, and your children, because they are very close to you, and they may not be as objective as perhaps you would talk to another individual, because perhaps maybe their evaluation or their judgments can be superficial. And if you're going to personalize this study, you will need to do the same research about yourself. If you really want to know what kind of reputation you have, what people really think of you, ask your wife, husband, and then give her, him freedom to answer the questions openly and objectively. Do the same with your children, those in the church. Now, I was a little timid in saying that statement. I don't want to cause an argument, folks. All right? But what I'm saying is, let's take these, shall we say, as constructive criticism. All right? Super important. But if you have an area in your life that maybe you need to improve on, wouldn't you want to hear about it? You know, wouldn't you want to hear about it if someone says, you know, "Patrick, if you would just maybe be a little kinder to your neighbor, you might have more influence on them. I see that as a character defect." Or, "Patrick, you seem to draw closer with those that have the same interest to you than perhaps individuals that do not. You seem to leave those behind." And so what I'm trying to say is, in our building our character and building our reputation, we need to really be objective, we need to be honest, and we need to hear what do we need to do. Because our influence on the world and hopefully leading others to Christ is going to be dependent upon our reputation. And what's kind of exciting is you will be amazed what you learn if you learn from those that are closer to you that can point out maybe some of your faults. All right? Well, are there areas in our lives where we believe people have false views of us and have misjudged us, our attitudes and actions? I had my visit, the individual that visited me. Are there areas in my life that perhaps, well, maybe in those days, and the way I answered this individual's question when he came to me, he says, "No, not you. You don't go to church, do you? Where do you go to church?" I said, "Church of Christ." He says, "You're a Mormon." And I said, "No, you know, let's talk about it, you know." And he said, "How long have you been involved in that?" And so we had this conversation. I had a chance to point it out. And that was the time for me to teach. And so I used my reputation where he saw in me, in those years, absolutely no spiritual mindedness in me at all from to a point in time that was spiritually minded, have my head on things above instead of activity and carnal things. And so it was a time to teach. And so you have a chance, obviously, you know, even though maybe you've sown some, quote, wild oats that you may have to, shall we say, live with, but you can use that, obviously, as a teaching opportunity to say, you know, God's Word changed me. I used to do this, but now I do this. I used to think that way, but now I think this way. I followed the pattern of the world, but now I follow God's Word. And so the beauty in that, in building that reputation is, you know, some people quit before they get started. Some people said, I can't even walk into a church building because it'll fall down. I'm so sinful. Or I can't, why should I obey the gospel? I can't be saved. I've committed too many sins. That isn't the way it happens. You know, Jesus's mission in life, mission statement is Luke 19:10, and that was, he came to seek and save that which was lost. You know, he didn't go after those with the stellar reputations. He went to those folks, obviously, that needed help now. So when we do that, we need to ask ourselves, are we aware of any attitudes or actions in our lives right now that are hurting our reputations? You know, what attitude maybe do we need to set aside? What steps can we take immediately to rebuild our reputation in those particular areas? What one thing would you like to do immediately to begin to enhance your reputation as a Christian? And one of the things that you need to do is set a goal. And setting a goal right now, I've been thinking a lot about goals lately, and Dave and I have been talking goals now till we're probably blue in the face, huh, Dave? I think, you put a goal, but then there's obviously, you know, how are you going to get that goal done? What are all the little accomplishments along the way that are going to make it happen to make these goals and reach those goals here right now? But what you need to do, I hope out of this study here right now, think about your life, think about your reputation, set yourself a goal. Set yourself a goal and go after it. I chose Acts 2:42 through 47. And it's just the early church, they're just, shall we say, meeting. And this is how they're referred to. They, and that is those that just obeyed the gospel, that 3,000 souls, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, isn't that a good rule to hear? Huh? To devote yourself to God's Word. Because from God's Word, you're going to grow, you're going to mature. And to fellowship, that is partnership, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Verse 47, pivotal passage for the reputation that comes out of devotion to God's Word. You're going to gain favor with all of the people. That doesn't mean with just your fellow Christians. That people are going to see in you a different individual. They're going to see a change. They're going to see your reputations being molded, being created. And what's the result of that? The Lord will add the increase. The Lord will add the increase. I mean, that to me speaks volume of our behavior and of our reputation and how it leads and influences others. On our goal passage right now, on our goal passage right down here, is I want to read 1 Thessalonians. And this was kind of an add-on for me because I thought about not only just goals for ourselves, but here we are, a body of Christ, the Church of Christ that meets in Boise, and 1 Thessalonians verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by the hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in my study, I also went on a couple sidebars, and I started, well, let's look at the reputations of the seven churches in Asia. Let's look at reputation. You were neither hot, you were neither cold, or something like that. You know, and I thought, well, I don't want to go on any type of bummer situation and start saying that here, because we have an exciting group here right now. And what we need to do, obviously, and is to kind of work on this passage and remembering before our God and Father our work produced by faith, our labor prompted by love, and our endurance inspired by our hope in Jesus Christ. Faith, love, and hope, and endurance. And we look at that. So, for the Church of Christ. Turn over to Colossians chapter 3. If I would say that we had a beginning to set a goal. And we're going to be studying Philippians and then coming up with Colossians. And these prison epistles here are just loaded with behavior characteristics that we need to imitate and set in our goal. But in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Oh, sometimes I get caught up in my own study, guys. Chapter 3. All right, I was reading chapter 1. All right. But it meant something to me. No. All right. Colossians chapter 3. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Wow. If you're going to start out with a goal, and you're going to say, where do I start, Lord? You know, and the Lord tells us here right now, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. So, you know, fall in love with God's Word. And study God's Word and think about spiritual things. Isn't it easy sometimes, and what our reputations can stray off when we set our minds on other things? Other things but the Lord's desire for us. So that to me is an honorable starting place and an honorable goal. Turn over to 1 Peter. Chapter 3. Now, by the way, you have 66 books in here to pick and choose. Maybe some worthy goals that you might consider on that. And so when you do the evaluation or your self-assessment of your reputation, it's interesting because I know hopefully that I know anytime I have an opportunity to speak or to talk in a Bible class, I like to find out what is the passage saying? What does it mean? What does it mean? Then what does it mean to them in general? Then bottom line is, what do I do with it? What does it mean to me? How do I use this material on that? So ask yourself those questions when you do that. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, we read, wives, and we're not just picking on the wives, but in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing a gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Well, husbands are going to recognize. My wife was a Christian 5 years before I was. And it was a bitter battle for religion in our home. It was a contest. And she was faithful. She went to church every day and brought our 4 children to church by herself while I chose to stay home and watch the football game. And we argued about religion from time to time. And finally, one time she just said to me, she says, I give up. It's going to be your way. And I realized that I couldn't handle that. She said, I want to be just like you. And I thought, no way. I don't want her to be just like me. And I obeyed the gospel a week later. But it was her behavior. It was her influence. She would leave tracks all over the house. But on the other hand, it was her influence and her perseverance and her patience with me that made me say, something's different, and I want this marriage to work. And so we grew from that time on. We're not to leave the husbands out. It's not just the wife's responsibility. But in verse 7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Husbands, if you're not treating your wife, you got a problem with God hearing your prayers if you're not treating your wife properly. You don't want that to be. But respect your wife. Treat her as a weaker vessel. Not that women are weak. That's what I'm saying. But there's certain things that they're, shall we say, less capable than the masculine individual. Respect that and treat them that. A worthy goal. 2 Peter 1. Turn over to 2 Peter 1. Second Peter 1, verses 3 through 11. His divine power has given us everything we need to for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given his great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, perseverance, godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, that will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you'll receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you look at this passage, dynamite passage for a guarantee to get to heaven, if you just follow it God's way. And the exciting thing is here, it's building that reputation. Goodness, love, perseverance, patience. All these things here right now, they're quality. You know, what is one of the things that, do you know an individual that doesn't have any patience? Maybe me, but what I'm saying is, could be, no. But what I'm saying is, you know, what happens, you know? Is you have that reputation. Oh, can't count on that guy. His word's not good. Can't count on that guy. He's got no patience with it. So anyway, and then again, we close with Acts 2, 42 and 47, recognizing the fact that the behavior alone, God will add the increase and grew in favor with men. Well, back to the beginning, people of the world judge religion not from the profession, but from the life of its members. They judge religion not from preaching or from books, but from what they see in the daily walk and conversation of the members of the church. They understand the nature of religion so well as to know when its members are not consistent with their profession, and that will influence their decision, I believe, whether they will even want to be interested in the gospel. If you don't have a good reputation, build a good reputation so you can have that type of influence that will enable and hopefully lead others to Christ. We're going to be talking about, and some of the plans are coming up, about evangelism, and contact, and different things. But when you look at this lesson today, it's really designed for us to kind of examine ourselves. Now, I'm going to ask my trustworthy companion there, Jake, to hand out this maturity profile. And what I'd like you to do in the privacy of your own homes, be objective. And the highest score you'll get to be will be 100 points. There's 5 points for each one. And what I want you to do with this maturity profile is it's basically a list of qualifications on the eldership. And the profile gives you a list of questions that you will have a friend, a close friend, a wife, a husband, anybody rate you and be honest and objective on that rating. So it's just something that you can kind of toy with. You do not have to turn that in to me that I will put on PowerPoint and we'll review each one. I don't think that would be necessary at this point in our study. But any time that we study, any time we have a lesson, we want to walk away. What did I learn? What did I get out of it? What do I need to do with it? You have a good reputation, which everyone here does, but if you have a good reputation, continue to build on that and use that reputation if you influence others because they see in you a special quality, hopefully maybe to encourage study in the gospel and an additional study. So the lesson was profitable for me personally because, again, it kind of reflects to what we went through in the last month so and in the testing period of time, and we're going to be as we grow, and hopefully are in a position to eventually add other elders or certainly deacons to the congregation, that these things will come into consideration. All right? Well, the lesson is yours. Our Bible study here, we didn't really talk a lot about how to become a Christian. Some in the audience today may be to the point where they've studied, and they understand that what I need to do is to obey the gospel. That what's keeping me? What's holding me back? God will add that increase to the appropriate time. There may be some here also that feel that maybe they've brought reproach upon the church. And if you have, then you need to set things right. You need to, what they call, come forward and make that statement. Or if you need the prayers of the congregation, just let the elders know or anybody here and we'll be praying for you. We have a number of things to pray for the work here, obviously, and that should be an ongoing goal for each and every one of us. But if you have a need, please come forward as we sing our song.